Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
So who are you this morning? That's the title of the message, Who Are You? I didn't know what God was going to do last Sunday while I was ministering until the week began to open up and the Lord took me back to a statement that was made here in the house. And so I want to ask you this morning, who are you? No, I'm not asking for a portfolio or a resume of where you've been and what you've done and who you know and what you got. I want to know this morning, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to know, who are you? I want to know, who am I? It's essential in the world in which we're living that we know who we are. Amen? In that movie that we were able to take in last night, and a lot of fun, both at the restaurant and then also at the theater, young people began to understand that there is tremendous power in unity when we agree on the sovereignty of God. So who are you? Father, in Jesus' name, as we go to your word this morning, I pray that you will breathe upon our lives. I pray that you will speak to our hearts. And I pray that we will walk out of here this morning absolutely knowing who we are. In Jesus' name, because we were made in your image, I thank you that you're going to clarify to our hearts this morning. And God's people said, amen. Big shout out to all of our volunteers and those that are going to be volunteering in the near future. There's nothing like pouring yourself into the body of Christ. It will be the first experience that you truly have of what it was like for Jesus to pour his life into others. But listen real close. Listen real close now. Like maybe pretend it's E.F. Hutton and you want to lean forward. If you and I are not pouring ourselves out for our family, don't bring it to the house. Because it's got to start at the home level. It's got to start. I don't know why she keeps running out. I don't understand. But she's not here again. But that's okay. I know where she is because she's playing hooky. No, she's already serving. By the way, all of you that are single, we're going to get there. Who are you? You really want to watch the landscape in your dating circles. If you're a serving person, you want to hook up with another serving person. Josh McDowell many years ago said, there are two types of people, givers and takers. So when you think about dating, you want to make sure you're dating someone who's giving at the level you're... Well, church, I'm always going to teach God's word until my breath has been completed on this thing called earth. You want to make sure that you're dating someone who's at the level that you are. Meaning, if you're a giver and you're here, you want to make sure, well, I'm a missionary and I'll bring them up. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I tried that route. And many others have tried that. God didn't call you to be a missionary in a relationship. You're to be equally joined. That's over there in 1 Corinthians, by the way. Who are you in just a few moments? So make sure that if you're going to serve in any house, make sure that you're serving in your home. Watch this. Before I serve at the academy, I better make sure that my family's intact. Or that school will be a resemblance of me. And I will bring out of my home to the school. All of you that are in education know that's true. Why it gets so gnarly at the end of the year is because we know what we're dealing with. What's coming out of the home comes into our school. I told the kids the other day, I said, we're having a come to Jesus meeting and Jesus is not here today. We had to have that kind of a meeting. Because students do not know who they are. And they will come in with the culture and no character. But what we bring is character from our lives, from our homes, from the ministry into the business world. Come on, church. Amen. So this morning, we're going to find out who we are. Who are you? There's only three categories that you could fall into. One, in a moment you'll know exactly what passage we're going to. You're either cold, you're lukewarm, or you're hot. Take your Bibles, if you will, with me this morning, or you can look on the screen. I'm going to be in Revelation chapter 3. If you remember last Sunday's message, this just came out quickly, and I moved on, but the Spirit of the Lord didn't move on. He brought me back to it. Now watch this, how it works in a relationship. If I'm cold, I pointed that way, I should have pointed here. If I'm cold and my wife is hot, that's not going to be a real good relationship. If I'm lukewarm and she's lukewarm, we're going to be spitting on each other. Wow, that's vulgar. Did you say God was vulgar? Jesus said, I would rather see you hot or cold rather than lukewarm. But because you are, I'm going to spit you out. Man, there's nothing worse than to be around lukewarm people. People who have no giddy up. People who have no zip. People who have no fire. To the angel of the church in Laodicea. Let me just pause right there. By the way, this could turn into a series because I don't want you to feel like we're going to be here until Christ returns with him. This house and every house that he has built, there's an angel watching over that house. It didn't just happen back in Laodicea. It's here too. Why an angel over the house? So that demonic powers are not welcomed here. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. To the angel of the church in Laodicea. So there's an angel that watches over this ministry. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Whoa. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Man, there's nothing worse than to be a fence rider. Man, in fact, I was at the prison yesterday, and I said to the young men, man, you know how bad it is on your crotch when you're sitting on the fence? I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you live that way. What's up? What's up? We are inundated with lukewarm people. Listen, I bet you think I'm talking to the church. No. I'm talking about school. I'm talking about the business world. I'm talking about the sports world. I'm talking about any world you want to look at, you'll find lukewarm people. That's good preaching right there. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, whoa. You know, sometimes it's best for us not to say. Because God will use your words. The angel's doing it. You say I'm rich. I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing. I heard Tom Dooley the other morning on the devotional for the day. He said this, the most dangerous day in the life of a believer is when they're prospering. I gathered my family, which is not as big as it used to be, but it's still family. And the rest are still family too. Thanks, Amy. She reminded me of that. And I said to them, you know, God has really blessed us. We are really blessed, but we have got to really be very careful right now. When everything is lining up just the way you want, you better check yourself. But you do not realize, how many know that God's viewpoint and our viewpoint are a little bit different? But you do not realize you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I'm going, naked? I got clothes on. You know, we can snap back, can't we? Kids aren't the only ones that talk back. See, we wouldn't dare show that in here, but we do snap back, don't we? I did just the other day in regards to the pool. Pool wasn't responding right, and I got a little irritated, and then I got a little fire, and then I got a little mouthy, and God didn't do a thing. He just kind of like real quiet. So I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. How many know that it's good to receive God's counsel? But you know what? Boy, dare I say this after all these many years of ministry? I have witnessed this as a minister of the gospel. Women are more readily able to receive counsel than we who are men. Have you ever noticed that? That's a host of years of ministry. There's a real quiet one right there. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. So, Father, I thank you. I'll put all the salve necessary on my eyes because I want to be able to see literally and spiritually. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. How many know that if you've never had that, you might want to come to the foot of the cross? Because when God loves you, there will be times when he has to correct us. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with that person and they with me. How many know that this was to the church at Laodicea? So God can be outside the church trying to get in. I've been amazed through the years how people try to use Revelation 3:20 for the lost. It's okay, but here's the theological truth. This was a message to a church that had it going on, but the one who was the cornerstone of the church was on the outside knocking to get in. So this morning I want to talk about what it means to be cold and give you three scriptures. I want to talk about what it means to be lukewarm and give you several scriptures. And then I want to talk about what it means to be hot for the Spirit of God. And it's going to move quickly. We want to have communion together. And then I'm going to close out with an incredible song about our souls being on fire. Let's talk about what it means to be cold. And I'm trusting that you will take some of this information and footnote it. When you talk about something that is cold, it is something that is dead and has to be regenerated. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 says this, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." I always find it interesting how hard kids are until they have to go to court. Like, they act so hard on the bus, so hard in the classroom. They act so hard on our campuses. But the moment that they are incarcerated or they have to go before the judge, where'd all that hardness go? Like, it's an instant meltdown. We need an instant meltdown if we have become cold towards God, towards his word, towards the preaching of his word, towards our relationships, towards our children, towards our spouses. Do not let anything cold take over your life. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 says this, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." So God gives you the right to come out of coldness. God gives you right of passage to come out of coldness. Let me explain what it might mean to you if you can visualize this. I was sitting at a steel table yesterday in the canteen there at Lancaster. And it's hard and it's cold. And I told the young men, I said, "This slab of steel reminds me of what my brother was lying on when I went back to Columbus just to visit for a moment and to let him know that I loved him because he was already gone." And as I went in there, the room was cool. True or false? True. He was there too. And then secondly, I reached out and I put my hand on my baby brother's arm, which is now he's in his 50s or whatever, and it was hard and cold. That's the picture of people who know it but will not exercise it. John chapter 3, verse 3 says this, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" The best way to get out of a cold streak, if you don't know Christ, is to come into Christ. Those two young men that came into the library, cafeteria, other areas at Columbine, that's an example of someone who was cold. Alive, but dead. And I'm wondering this morning, is there anyone here in the house that has not yet entered into the kingdom? I want to invite you. I'm not demanding, I'm not commanding, and I won't make that a reality for you. Only the Holy Spirit can do it for you. You will not see eternal life in heaven without being born again. Amen. And I'm inviting you to recognize there's nothing worse than for Floridians to live in cold weather. Like when it gets cold down here, you guys call it really cold. Having lived up in Saskatchewan, where the temperature during those same months are anywhere from 30 below to 45 below, now that could be cold. But we don't like cold down here. Guess what? Neither does the Father. And He wants to do something in our hearts if we've become cold and callous. Oh, it's just a job. I'm just trying to wait it out so I can retire. Or whatever, whatever, whatever. Oh, it's a marriage. And I told the kids yesterday at Lancaster, I said, because you're not capturing this, let me help you understand this. Because they asked me, they said, is it possible to be a Christian and remain cold? And I said, yes, it's possible. You can absolutely drift off into a snowbank spiritually. I said, let me give you an example. I said, my wife and I have been married over 30 years, so we're married, but that doesn't mean we're in love. And immediately they said, we get it. Because kids do understand. Yeah, mom and dad are married, but they're not in love. That's why if it wouldn't be such a burden for the house, I could sing every time we're in here, falling in love with you, Jesus. Because if you're not, you are in love with yourself. But you can't be in love with Jesus Christ and inundated with yourself. One or the other has to go. Oh, Spirit of God, stand in here with me. I said to my wife this morning in our devotions, I said, I see two things in regards to the spiritual world. Either self is on the throne or the Spirit of God is on the throne, but they will not cohabitate. Spirit of the Most High God, I want my way and I don't care. The way of the transgressor is hard. Proverbs. Charles Spurgeon, as we leave the cold, and have you ever noticed that sometimes it gets a little chilly in here, and I'll see individuals putting a shawl or a blanket or a jacket or something around them so they stay warm. I'm inviting you to come out of the coldness of this world. I believe that many professing Christians are cold and uncomfortable because they are doing nothing for their Lord. Charles Spurgeon. He also said, sometimes God doesn't change your situation because He's trying to change your heart. Thank God for men and women who preached the word of the Lord back in their era. So before you address the circumstances in your life, address your heart. Father, how do you see my heart? Is it hard? Does it feel like Stephen's body, cold? Lord, how's my heart? Because I know if you can get my heart squared away, those circumstances are going to change. I like the old spiritual that was sung years ago. It's me standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my wife, not my children, not the pastor, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Let's go to lukewarm. So God desires to regenerate anything that has drifted into the snowbank. You can be born again and grow cold towards the gospel. Grow cold towards the word. Grow cold towards the message. Lukewarm. I'm going to open up with a couple quotes. I thought, man, Francis. I found some quotes by Francis Chan and I thought, whoa, because he has some information about what it means to be lukewarm. And then I'm going to give you some scriptures and then we're going to move. Listen closely. Lukewarm people give money to charity and to the church as long as it doesn't impinge on their standards of living. Quote, lukewarm people tend to choose what is popular over what is right when they are in conflict. Oh, Spirit of God. Let me read that one again. Lukewarm people tend to choose what is popular over what is right when they are in conflict. That would, I can't see that. Let me give you some lenses. Rachel Scott could have very easily said, at this time I'm going to renege. I don't believe in God anymore. In fact, I agree with you guys. Let me read it one more time. Lukewarm people tend to choose what is popular over what is right when they are in conflict. Next, these are all quotes by Francis Chan. Lukewarm people don't really want to be saved from their sin. They want only to be saved from the penalty of their sin. Whew, Spirit of the Lord is here. Next, lukewarm people are moved by stories about people who do radical things for Christ, yet they do not act. Come on, church. Come on, church. Are you cold right now? Are you sitting there like in a like, oh, oh. Lukewarm people gauge their morality or goodness by comparing themselves to the secular world. How dangerous. How dangerous for us who have been bathed and bought. Those are good words. Bathed and bought by his blood to go, well, it's not quite as bad as what they did last night. I didn't know where you got that truth. You might want to show that to me in his word. It's a dangerous thing to go, ah, the rock that doesn't move, but you never open it up. And you never apply it here. Come on, church. Work with me. Work with me. Lukewarm. 2 Timothy 3:5. Boy, I look at this all the time and I go, God, is this me? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Whew. Let me read that one again. Having a form of godliness. Got it all together. Got my Bible, got my tie. Whatever you guys, whatever it is. I got my necklace and the cross. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There ought to be power in this house. The sick should be healed in this house. The blind and eye issues need to be changed in this house. Marriages that are kind of rocky should be healed in this house. Power should go out of this house. That's a good place to give the Lord praise. I don't know. I want to see the demonstration of the power of God in this house. I want to see the demonstration of the power of God in this house. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's a lukewarm person. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Well, I don't want to hear that anymore. I'm going to go somewhere else. Or we'll get somebody else. Really? And you're going to stop the voice of God? Have fun with that. For the time will come, and that's where this country is right now, when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's a lukewarm society. Tell me what I want to hear, not what I need. Because I live by my lusts. And don't you say anything about it. Well, then I won't. Holy Spirit, turn it up even louder for them on the inside. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Listen closely. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It doesn't say that you can't help others. It doesn't say you can't enjoy things. But when you're in love with the world, when I'm in love with the world, hey, let me break this down. When I get more fired up and more passionate about sports than I do Jesus Christ, I'm in love with the world. I used myself. When my boat and my guns mean more to me than time alone with God, I'm a lover of this world. I said that was me. Don't get mad. Take it up with God. It doesn't say you can't go out fishing. It doesn't say you can't go out hunting. It doesn't say you can't go out and make and increase and have your barns full. It's not talking about that. It's talking about when you are in love. And all of your energy and all of your strength and all of your mentality, everything you are and everything that you have is all about this present age. You are a lover of the world. I love the Spirit of God. And I always want to be around where the Word of the Lord is preached. So it speaks to me. And church, listen closely as we're moving through this now. When I'm up here teaching or preaching, whichever one the Spirit of the Lord wants, he is speaking to me in rapid fire. And he's giving me pictures. He's giving me downloads of things that need to be checked and checked off. So I don't want you to feel like he's standing up here acting like he's God's own. I don't feel that way at all. I feel the convicting hand of the Holy Spirit. So let me just pause right there for a moment and say, I grew up in a place, in an era, in a time when you got under conviction, it wasn't devils troubling you, it was the Holy Ghost. I remember being at a place called Beulah Beach on the shores of Lake Erie, standing in an old tabernacle, and there were times when God was so speaking to me, man, I grabbed onto the pew in front of me, and I wouldn't have to move. I said, I'm not going to the front. And I knew what it was. It was the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And now we've got ministries that don't want any conviction from the Holy Ghost. That's because we're lukewarm, borderline cold. We need the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an example of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I had a disagreement the other morning with my wife. That's normal. You do too. So I got in my vehicle and headed to work, and I started to play one of my favorite songs. And the Holy Spirit said, no need. There's that form of godliness. No need. Shut it off and call her and apologize. Well, you don't have to be that forthright, Lord. So I shut it off and kept right on riding, like, at least you got half of it. And I'm coming around the bend, heading into Bronson on that little curve, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you need to apologize. Okay, let me have this. And I called her and I said, I just want to apologize for my attitude. I said, it wasn't conducive. It wasn't right. And on top of that, I think Shorty over there saw that. Marriage isn't hard. We are. Marriage is not hard. We are. I didn't point at y'all. I pointed at myself. Marriage is not difficult, especially when you put him in the center of your life and you will be obedient to him. Marriage isn't hard. We are. The Spirit of the Lord is here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So guess what, young people? Can I have their attention for a moment? All the young people, adults, you can go to sleep for 30 seconds. When I was a teenager, man, I loved seducing spirits, especially when it had to do with the things I was chasing. But when God began to clean me up, he said, now you're going to have to watch for spiritual seducing spirits. Not after the flesh, but seducing spirits that come into the house of the Lord. So he had to clean me up. Young people, you just want to sleep on me. Young people, he had to clean me up from all the seducing things I used to be a part of as a teenager. You are today. So that he could give me new lenses so I would be aware of seducing spirits in the body of Christ. I'd rather stand before a church board than before him. Because sometimes church boards and all that, they think you're so big and so bad. Only problem is you got to stand before the Lord. I remember my dad used to say to me, as you obey God and go into the ministry, do not be concerned about everything in the church. Just know that one day you're going to stand before the Lord. And man, that echoes in my head so much. It's like, God, oh, you shouldn't be afraid. Oh, really? Really? When you've been called, separated, and set apart, and given an anointing and a calling to preach his word, man, I need to make sure that I'm bringing only what he wants me to say. My last prayer before I left there, and Joshua said, you got 25 seconds. I said, Lord, don't let me say anything you don't want me to say. Guard my mouth. Don't let me rush and say something ridiculous. Ladies and gentlemen, you too are going to stand before the Lord someday. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Let's see. Paul had a son. His name was Timothy, spiritual son. And he's writing to a young pastor. And he's saying to him before he prepares to leave. And Paul knew that his life was going to be short. And that he was going to be separated from body parts. And he says to him, there will be those who will come and will give themselves over to seducing. Let me make sure. I don't think you guys got this. Let me make sure I got this across. For those of us that have been eager to follow seducing things of this world, you are easy prey spiritually to seducing spirits in the body of Christ. Did y'all get that? Did y'all get that? Better watch yourselves. I say that as a loving, heavenly person on my way home, that God's placed me in this place for this time to let you know that you and I, those of us who have followed the things of this world, I used to, and we were seduced by things I used to be, he had to clean me up so that that would not happen spiritually. How would you like it if I led you off course with doctrines of devils? and you didn't even know it. That's the whole game of seduction. Whew, Spirit of the Lord is here. Jesus never seduced people. Let's go to the last section. I want to move quickly. So we've looked at what it means to be cold. That has to be regenerated. What does it mean to be lukewarm? To be lukewarm means we need revival. We need to be revived. I was revived instantly when I finished up with my phone call and I said, Hey, Rob, I love you. I love you. Man, my day was all set. Maybe that's what somebody needs to do here in the house today. Last piece, hot. God wants us to be hot. Three scriptures to the finish line. Zechariah 13:9, this third I will bring into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. And I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God. So Father, this morning I pray that you will refine us so that we will be hot towards you and for you, and that we will let the light of the gospel burn brightly in our lives. Please help us not to be lukewarm in Jesus' name. Matthew 3:11, when Jesus comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I speak fire over this house, the fire of God, not fake foolish things, but the fire of God. I release the fire of God over this house. Watch this. I read this passage this past week. Don't remember the reference, but here's what it said. And I quote, a loyal heart and a willing mind, that's where the fire comes. A loyal heart and a willing mind, that's where the fire comes. So God, when I read that earlier in the week, he brought that back to my attention when I needed to make that phone call to my wife, because I've told him I will be loyal to you until I'm done, and my mind will always be willing. But boy, did my flesh show up. If I struggle with the flesh, I was making a suggestion. I'm not alone. Matthew 3:11, coming to the close. When Jesus comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Pastor, you just read that. Let me read it again. When Jesus comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I want to run to the finish line with fire on the inside. And I want that fire to be so alive and so real that it captures young people or adults, not forcing them into a frenzy, but where they will recognize, whoa, that's different. That's a little bit different. Whoa, because God desires to release the Holy Spirit in each and every one of our lives. You ought to pray that over your children, that every one of your children and grandchildren will be baptized with power from on high and with fire. Last verse, Luke 24:32. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Not because of me, but because of anyone that would open up God's word. I would love for this house to have that attitude every time we break bread. What's that, Pastor? That our hearts were burning on the inside, going, I know God's going to say something from that particular passage. God's going to say something through that person this morning or this evening. God's going to speak to my heart. That should be the desire of our lives. We're not trying to tell you how to live. God's word is openly sharing with us, this is the way, walk ye in it. How do I want to walk? I can be cold, I can be lukewarm, or I can be hot. I want to be around people that are hot, that are contagious, that are burning with the love of Jesus Christ. They're willing to put their life on the line each and every day, and they're always asking for more from above. Give me more bread, give me more oil, give me more fire, give me more grace, give me more mercy, increase my prayer life, open up my mouth, give me a heavenly language. I want everything that you have. I will not renege. I will not turn my back on you. Give me that Old Testament time power so that I can live at the highest level possible. I want to be all that you created me to be. That ought to be the prayer of every believer in every house this morning in this nation, that we would know who we are. And knowing who we are, we recognize that Jesus Christ makes a difference in our lives, and we shed all of the cold, all of the cold, all of the cold, all of the cold, and we move away from the lukewarm that has caught us, and we come to the fire of the Holy Spirit of the Most High God. Jesus Christ was alive. He did not have one lukewarm day. And he resides within you. He resides within me. And the fire of God is contagious. Let's pray. Father, I ask in Jesus' name, while we are in your presence, before we have communion, I'm asking in Jesus' name that there would be fresh fire that would come upon this house, upon our marriages. I pray in Jesus' name that we would not allow anything to stand in the way of our relationship with you. Father God, I pray that all of the walls would come down that would be in homes, that they would be broken down in Jesus' name. I declare barriers broken in Jesus' name. I speak to hearts that have been bruised and wounded. I pray that the healing power of Jesus Christ would reach them. I pray today that those that feel as if there's no more oil, I pray that you will pour in fresh oil. I pray that they will lift up their lives to you, and that you will give them the oil of joy, the oil of gladness, the oil of strength, the oil of togetherness. I pray for the oil of the Holy Spirit of God in our marriages. I pray over our young people. God, every young person throughout this region, throughout this state, I pray that you would capture their hearts and their minds. I pray, Father God, you will use each and every one of us, that we will lay our lives down like Rachel, whatever it takes, that Jesus Christ would be exalted, that you would be magnified. Set this house on fire. Set this house on fire. Set this house on fire, and raise up our children and raise up grandchildren. Give us a heart for you, oh God. Give us a heart for you, oh God, so that people will know just before we even open up our mouths, they'll know, I know who you are. I know who you are. I recognize you. You're a follower of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. Father, now I just ask where we've struggled, you would pour in what you need. This I pray. In Jesus' name, God help us. God help us. God help. God help. God help us. Help. Oh, God help our nation, businesses, schools, families. God help. It's my prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and revive the lives of your people. In Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. So I argued with the Lord this morning, and I said, why this message when we're celebrating volunteers? And this is the greatest house I've ever been a part of. That goes all the way back through my dad's ministry of people that are willing to serve. We got incredible volunteers in this house. But you know what? This is his house. And there's an angel over this house. And the angel that is in this house, and my Heavenly Father knows what I was supposed to deliver today. For me to have done something other than would make me accountable to the one I will give an account for. So this morning, before we have communion, and during communion, Joshua, I'd like for that video, Heart on Fire, in just a moment. Okay, I'll give you that signal. You may be here this morning, you say, hey, Dennis, I feel your heart. And it's nice to know that you have those moments too, where the flesh shows up and tries to override the Spirit of God. But it's also nice to know how to get off the throne. But you'd like to just stand, and you don't have to come to the front. You would just like to stand with me and say, you know what? I heard the word this morning. I heard the word loud and clear. I know what's going on. I don't know what's going on in your world. But you know, and he knows, but you'd like to stand and just go, I know who I am. And it's time for me to start living the way I'm supposed to. I know who I am. Those who would like to stand, we're going to have prayer together. As a brother, as a friend, I stand with you. And I would simply say to anyone that may not be standing, or they may be standing and going, you know what, I'm not lukewarm, I'm not hot, I feel cold. I invite you to talk to somebody. You don't have to come to me. I'm no guru. I think that's another thing that's got to go. Like, you gotta talk, just talk to the pastor. Shoot, I put my clothes on just like everybody else. That doesn't mean I'm not anointed. That doesn't mean I'm not called of God. But there are men and women in this house that will help you walk into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're cold this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, gosh, if Rachel could step back down from heaven, she would invite you. Come now to know Christ, because he loves you. Let's pray. It's time for communion. Father, across this house, we're standing. We are standing in response to the Holy Spirit. Not the way I spoke, not the emotions, none of that. We, your people, pastor included, we're standing and we're asking, please help us break away this week from lukewarm areas. And may the fire of the Holy Spirit once again resonate through our lives. There's no condemnation. We're not standing in your presence guilty. We are absolutely aligning this morning to the work of the Holy Spirit. And I want to thank you that you reaffirm who we are. We belong to you. And you're a good, good Father. And so, Father, I ask this morning now that you would put a hedge of protection all over businesses. Come on, church, help me right here now. Over all the businesses in our nation, all corporations. Come on, church, this is not a playground. I'm praying for all of our schools right now that you will reinforce and protect. I pray for all of the military, all police officers, all government officials. I'm praying in Jesus' name. If you know how to pray, you ought to start praying right now. This is a huge hour in which we're living, and I'm just inviting you to cover. I pray protection on the highways. I'm praying protection over our young people. I'm asking in Jesus' name that you will show up big in every area. This is your land. You're the creator of all things. And so, Father, we feel the fire. We feel the hot love of Jesus Christ flowing through us, protecting our nation, protecting all leaders, all government officials. I'm thanking you and I'm praising you. And I know that you are doing a great work. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the blood that never loses its power. And thank you for communion that we close this service with. And we know that we are men and women and young people whose souls are on fire. In Jesus' name, would you give God praise? Amen. Turn to somebody real quick and go, I know who I am, and let them say the same thing. And then if my elders, the elders of the house, if you'll come, elders, if you'll come, we're going to get ready to have communion. And we'll kind of do it like we've done, okay? Section, probably here. Section and here, over here. Okay? If there's anyone that needs prayer, desires to be anointed, I can have some of our leaders come and we can anoint you in prayer. Joshua, you got the video and the lights can come down. Enjoy this. A heart on fire. Enjoy it. I want you to know he loves you guys. I want you to know that we love you. I want you to know this is a great place. And I want to thank all the volunteers. Awesome. For the way that you have served. Awesome. 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 Will you do me a favor? This is just a few of our leaders. Can you just give God praise for the way our leaders lead? They're the best. And then, you're here. Sometimes, I know his name's LaBelle. I almost said Tennessee. You get to close us in prayer when we're all done, okay? You got that one? Whew, man, the Lord is here. You ready for that? And the house lights are down. Father, bless communion. And may our sins be covered. And may marriages be healed. I pray this in Jesus' name that our homes will be so safe that our kids can't wait to get off of buses and out of schools. They can come home and be with family. I pray that for all of our homes. God, give me the Father's heart. Give me the Father's heart here. Make me a better pastor. In Jesus' name. Enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.